Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Black Beatles in the city. Be back immediately to confiscate the money. Fresh ground. Wow. My world. You sent flowers, but you said you didn't receive.
Hour number two, Sween and the Machine, right here on 610 Sports Radio and being heard all over the world on the radio.com app. A couple of problems with my fantasy football draft. Well, several, considering the crew that I've been drafting with for years now. But are you an ESPN.com drafter, Pete? Y'all do it online?
I like Yahoo.
Okay.
I think that one, the one that I'm doing this Saturday, might be on ESPN.
It's too busy for somebody like me that has ADD. I mean, it's, you got bottom line, you got top line, you got numbers on the side, and the way that we do it, I think we gave ourselves like 60 seconds, maybe 90 seconds to draft. Literally for every single pick, I had to have friends come and help me. Now, granted, I've got an old archaic Dell, yeah, and that doesn't help the situation, but I have to admit, when it comes to fantasy football, I miss the old school, a bunch of guys hanging out on a balcony or going to Vegas in a hotel room and actually writing down, you know, the old handwritten. Look, Pete, my notes are still handwritten. I'm old school, dude.
We have actually a projector. We do it live, but we have a projector in a program that puts the team names in. And you'll love this. Prior to the draft, you know how you have to select random order?
Yeah.
Someone came up with last year filling the shot glasses with Jaeger, and at the bottom is numbered 1 to 12, and you randomly take a shot at the beginning of the draft.
That's a good one.
I like it a lot.
Yeah, and you see at the bottom of the cup what number you're picking.
Yeah, see, the Minute Militia, my team, named after the late, great Minute Bull, I've never picked higher than 7. I think there's some funny business going on. I think we need to go to the shots, right? My league used to have the best rule ever that's no longer funny because now guys are getting arrested all the time in the NFL, so it's no longer tongue-in-cheek. But this is like 10 years ago. We had what was called the arrest rule in my league, where if you drafted the first player that got arrested during the NFL season, you got $50 back. The best part was it was Braylon Edwards 2 years in a row. He was the first player arrested during the season. The year after that, somebody drafted him in the second round as to just to get their $50.
Who would you take in that regard this season?
See, it's not as funny of a game as it was like 10 years ago. You know
what
I mean?
That's a savage move by your league right there. It really is.
Back then, this is like way before all this stuff, all the Ray Rice and all these horrible things have happened. Back then, it was actually kind of funny. Let's get back into the football where the Chiefs signed Orlando Scandrick over the weekend. Give me one word to describe that move. Desperation?
Yuck.
I mean, honestly, obviously that's the weak part of this football team. There was a guy out there and the Chiefs had the money available, but Orlando Scandrick is a 31-year-old that's been in the league for 10 years that just got cut by the Redskins, who need secondary help on their own.
He got signed by the Redskins. They saw what he was in training camp and then they cut him. It's not like he was signed by the Redskins for a while and then become an unrestricted free agent. They said, you know what? We gave you a signing bonus for $1 million. You just keep that. Just get out of here.
That's the girl on Tinder that you meet up with at the bar. And like you have the first drink and you go to the bathroom and she's gone. Like that's what happened there. The Redskins don't think that Orlando Scandrick is worth their time. And I don't think the Chiefs think that Orlando Scandrick is worth their time if they weren't so desperate in their secondary.
Redskins should have swiped left.
They really should have. Because I'm not sure. I mean, it makes the secondary better, I suppose, because you have to put bodies there. But do you think that this is the team that they're going to battle with?
It's an interesting question, and I saw yesterday the Bengals surprisingly waived the 28-year-old safety George Iloka, drafted in 2012, and he's a pretty good player out there. But my thing is, right now, despite him being a fit, and the Chiefs need a safety desperately, Daniel Sorensen is injured for the first part of the regular season. Eric Berry, question marks. They're pretty young at the position when you look at Eric Murray, Leon McQuay, Armani Watts is still coming along as a rookie. So could they go out and get Iloka? And he's just going to be too expensive. Because once he clears and he can be signed by any team, the Chiefs, in signing Scandrick, are now even closer against the cap than they were prior to. there's no way that they signed George Iloka. As great as it could be, there's no shot.
So we look at the depth chart, especially in the secondary. How many actual position battles do you think there are? Because as many questions as I have about this defense, it's not necessarily who's going to start. For example, Dee Ford is going to start. Now, yeah. Does he deserve to? Is he going to have the impact of a starter? Is he going to be replaced 4 weeks into the season? Those things could all come to fruition, but I know he's going to be a starter. I know as long as he's healthy, Reggie Ragland's going to be a starter. I know that Anthony Hitchens is going to be your inside linebacker and Justin Houston. So that makes up your linebacker core. When it comes to the front line, again, as long as these guys stay healthy for the next couple of weeks, it's going to be Chris, give the nickname right now.
Chris.
Chris Junk.
Oh,
Jones.
Chris, you know, see, I already forgot it.
We'll work on that
Chris
again.
Junk
we'll work on that one again.
Struggling.
Well, how am I supposed to make the nickname stick if Pete can't even remember?
Chris
Junk Jones.
Junk. I mean, I don't know if it's long enough for it. I don't know if a nickname could be one syllable.
Hold on. You don't know if it's long enough. We're talking about a nickname here, Pete. Get your mind out of the gutter here. Xavier Williams and Alan Bailey, that's going to be your front line of your defense. So I feel like I know what I got when it comes to the defensive line and the linebackers. And then you talk about the secondary.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are we sure what names are going to be out there?
I think you're looking at Kendall Fuller, Steve Nelson, and David Amerson.
Fuller's been pretty good.
Yes. I think Fuller's the real deal. And that's why, we won't have to open Pandora's box, but that's why this team for a little bit could have had Fuller and Peters on the same roster. I digress. It's Fuller, Amerson, and Nelson. And Nelson now is in the concussion protocol, so they're going to be turning to Tremont Smith, Scandrick, and Arian Springs, an undrafted rookie. In the safety position, it's Leon McQuay and Eric Murray at the moment. Armani Watts had a pretty good night the other night. He had the best, again, PFF score of the evening, so at least he had the forced fumble towards the end of the game. And you got to hope that Watts comes along a little bit quicker than I think the Chiefs originally had planned for, because regardless of Eric Berry being healthy or not, there's that open Daniel Sorensen safety position, and that could really go to anyone. If Eric Murray doesn't take the bull by the horns, you can slide in Armani Watts if you feel comfortable enough.
The Chiefs spent literally every single draft pick on the defensive side of the ball, so something tells me at some point guys are going to struggle, and we're going to see a lot of new faces in new places pretty early.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned Dee Ford. I think for the first time in the Dee Ford Chiefs storyline and history, Dee Ford has legitimate competition behind him.
They should put the last name on his jersey. They should change it to Pinto. Instead of Ford. Or like Tercel. That's what he is. He's a 1995, same first car that I had. On the back of Dee Ford's jersey, it should say 1995 Toyota Tercel until he develops a skill set.
This should be the last year of Dee Ford. Here's my reasoning. He's expensive this year because they had to pick up his fifth-year option. And he's either going to play poorly enough where the Chiefs just move on, or he's going to play just well enough where he can get a good contract in the open market. And there's no way the Chiefs are going to bring him back. So this is the final year of Dee Ford if he plays well or not. And they have the backups behind them on their rookie contracts to know Tano Passanio and Breland Speaks. And that's what's different about this year is Dee Ford has a little bit extra motivation behind him. If he doesn't play well, he can be replaced as soon as week two in that position for regular snaps. So Dee Ford's got a lot of pressure on him this year, and I think that's a good thing.
Truth is, not only will the Chiefs not re-sign him, if he doesn't play much better than he has, because the truth is, we've seen Dee Ford be really good for 6 weeks, and we're entering, what, year five in the career of Dee Ford? A first-round draft pick, a guy that was supposed to be, I'm not going to say, remember the comparisons? Like, people were talking about Derek Thomas and how great his first step was and all that. We've essentially seen a third of one season where he was a good football player. I would take a step further and say not only will he not be a Chief, he might not be in the NFL if he continues to play the way that he has so far.
The thing that I think happened with Dee Ford is he fooled a lot of evaluators on tape because he just is ultra athletic, and when you're at the college ranks, you can just outrun everybody, get to the quarterback, and it's done. In the NFL, you're dealing with the best athletes in the world. You know, they say the boys play on Saturday, the men play on Sunday. Like, it's hard to be good at that position in the NFL, and Dee Ford has certainly struggled aside from those 10 games. That's another part of it, too. Has he been truly healthy for all those games? He does seem a little bit injury-prone to this point in his career. I think that factors into it as well.
Justin Houston's gone, too, most likely. I mean, at the end of next year, both those guys are in really unique situations, where in the case of Justin Houston, man, nobody would say that he's played up to the contract that he was given. When you get $100 million following a 22.5 sack season, there are going to be a lot of expectations. Now, to be fair, you just mentioned health, and there's been a lot of questions when it comes to Justin Houston's health. But that's a scary thing as a Chiefs fan. I feel like we're coming up with a lot of excuses here. My mom always used to tell me,
"You're right.
Don't give me excuses." And so I'm like, fine, I'm just going to be a straight shooter with you. We're not being a straight shooter when it comes to the Chiefs defense. Because if we are, Eric Berry's a huge concern. Justin Houston's a huge concern. You talked about Kendall Fuller, but the truth is we haven't really seen him that much. A guy that has four career interceptions. I like Anthony Hitchens, but how much better is he going to make the team? Reggie Ragland was the second best player on the defense last year, not named Marcus Peters. Who had that? Oh, by the way, Marcus Peters is now a Ram. Your leader for the last decade, Derek Johnson, is now a Raider. I don't mean to go overboard, but man, that's a lot of issues on one side of the ball.
Shootouts are fun, and I think the Chiefs, you look on paper, you're like, all right, this team's going to be in a lot of shootouts.
Pete, there's a reason why this team has six primetime games. They might not be good, but I guarantee they're entertaining.
No doubt, and I think that'll be different. Shootouts are fun, but they only become fun when you're winning. If you're in a shootout every week at Arrowhead and you're going with your boys, you're celebrating these three or four touchdowns, and then at the end of the day, the other team has five touchdowns and you lost, it'll be fun for the day, but then you're looking and say, is this really a playoff team? And that's going to be, that could be a real reality this year.
For those of you that have your fantasy football drafts coming up this week, I think this is probably the most popular week to have your draft. My advice would be this: only invite people that are on the team. If you're in a 10-man league, there should be 10 people at the draft. If you're in a 12-man league, there should only be 12 people there, because at my draft over the weekend, there were a couple of stragglers. And the problem with the stragglers are, yeah, they're good friends, and I assume one day when somebody in the draft passes away, they're probably next in line.
Oh, my.
That being said,
very dark.
They're always the drunkest of the friends because they're not drafting. They've got all this advice. You know, they're taking shots or hitting the whiskey. They're telling you to draft this guy. You got to take Jerry Rice, man. It's like, dude, he's been retired for a decade. So when you have those guys at your draft, my advice is to keep them away. But I was about to make my third round pick, and my buddy Rob comes wandering again. He's like, Sean, I got to ask you. Man, you're the guy to ask. I got to ask you. Who's the most influential athlete of all time? And you know what I said to Rob? I said, you have to listen to the radio show, because coming up at 11:15 on Monday, you'll get my answer. That's coming up next, right here, Sween and the Machine, 610 Sports Radio.
Show and Vern from the MVP Electric Heating and Cooling Studios, 610 Sports Radio.
Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man.
Hope you had a great weekend, Kansas City. Welcome back in. You got Sween and the Machine on 610 Sports Radio. Patrick Mahomes had a fantastic weekend. A lot of people don't know, Pete. He actually he hit the moon with that pass.
It hasn't come down yet.
And that's all I was going to say. It's actually still traveling. What was the official number? 68 yards in the air? That is a little bit ridiculous when you say it, that a human being could throw a football 68 yards in the air.
6 yards longer than any pass last year.
Not only that, but Tyreek Hill burnt three secondary guys for the Falcons.
Tyreek Hill is, I've been saying it all offseason, and I hope that people remember, when Tyreek Hill is in the top five in yards, or even better than that this year, that you remember who told you first.
I was going to say, sounds like you're backing off. In the first hour, you said there's a chance that he leads the league in yards.
I think he can. I don't want to be crazy.
Hang on. Let me remind you that Antonio Brown, all he's done, 1,400 yards the year before that, 1,500 yards, 1,800 before that, 1,600. Are you telling me that Tyreek Hill is going to have those type of numbers this year?
Did you hear what your boy did over the weekend?
What?
Antonio Brown tweeted at Tyreek.
Oh, yeah? What'd he say?
The GOAT. I swear to God.
Really?
Yeah.
Again,
He's already giving up.
The other parts of the play, obviously, Mahomes' pass was great, but look back at Tyreek Hill's route on that. He looked off to the left-hand side,
you
comes
saw
back
to
the
about.
Right.
I said that before.
Comes back to the right. That may be the most underlying part of that play.
100%, because a lot of people are just talking about the throw, and no one national is even going to know this. But if you watch the end zone angle of the throw, Tyreek Hill looks over left shoulder, right shoulder, left shoulder. And when he does, like, second to last look, he's like, oh, man, I have to get to this part of the field, which is 15 yards away to get to bring this pass in. And he does.
Easy.
Guys, it was great. It was awesome. It was entertaining. I don't want to bring anybody down. 68 yards in the air is impressive. I would just say this. That's one part of a skill set that an elite quarterback has to have. And I would actually say there have been plenty of guys. And think about Tom Brady. Like, Tom Brady's got a really good arm, but he's not going to launch it 68 yards in the air. He's got a lot of other skills that make him the best quarterback ever. I would just
I don't know if anyone could do what he did.
When it comes to your excitement level with Patrick Mahomes, because he can throw the ball real far, remember the throw that he made against against the Broncos last year?
And the Marcus Robinson throw?
Just ridiculous. You watch that and you go, one, I'm not sure any other quarterback in the NFL can do this. And two, I know for a fact, as a lifelong Chiefs fan, that no Chiefs quarterback could do that. But is that necessarily going to equate to wins? That's my whole thing is, let's not make a mountain out of a molehill because a guy has a big arm. Or in the case of a guy like Mike Vick back in the day, he would run a 4.40. Okay, but how accurate was he? A really good quarterback. Like, if we're talking about Patrick Mahomes in the next 2 or 3 years becoming one of, if not the elite quarterback in the NFL, the fact that he can throw the ball really, really, really far doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
I mean, it helps.
You know who could throw the ball really, really
far? Jeff George.
Tyler Bray.
Jamarcus Russell.
And Tyler Bray stunk. Look, I'm saying I see the accuracy. I see the arm. He's got the perfect partner in crime. If Patrick Mahomes is Batman, Tyreek Hill is Robin, it's a nice duo.
What does that make Travis Kelce? The butler?
What's the butler's name? Gordon?
It was Gordon. Well played.
Thank you.
I think it was Gordon. Neither confirmed.
Kelce is not in this scenario.
Okay.
Just the two of them.
Just making sure. All right. So I had my fantasy draft over the weekend, guys. And like I was saying, if you're in a 12-man draft, you should only have 12 people around. It's our time as grown-ass men. Get rid of your wives. Get rid of your kids for a night, for a weekend. Well, just for a weekend. Like, go to the lake and let her take care of them. Go to Las Vegas and pretend like they don't exist for 48 hours and then come back to reality, your normal life. That's what the fantasy draft is, Pete. It is fantasy. The problem is, at my draft, it was a 12-man draft. We had 15 guys there, which means we had three drunks that were suggesting, oh, you got to take this guy, you got to take that guy. They knew all the right trends, and they knew the sleepers, and they knew the bust, and they were so drunk. My buddy Rob comes up to me right before I made a pick, and Rob says, hey, Sean, you're the one I want to ask. And I honestly can't stand it when my friends want to talk sports with me. I'm like, let's just talk anything else than sports right now. But that's the path that we went down. And so we started, he said, who do you think is the most influential athlete of all time? And of course, it was because Tiger Woods did his thing at the PGA Championship. Then I started to think about that. I'm like, that's actually a pretty damn good question, the way that he worded it. Who's the most influential athlete of all time? And I think that Tiger Woods is the right answer to the question, and here's why. First of all, you're talking about an individual sport, and I think that the answer to this question has to come from an individual sport. It has to be a boxer. It has to be a tennis player. It has to be a golfer. It's just difficult to be the most influential athlete of all time when you play on a team. Like, if we would agree that Tom Brady is the best quarterback of all time or Jerry Rice is the best wide receiver, the fact that they played a team sport I don't think makes them the most influential athlete. The fact that Tiger played an individual sport, the fact that he completely changed the sport, if you think about what golf was 20 years ago compared to what it is today, not only do you have 10 times the amount of people playing, but look at the people that are playing. I mean, the demographic has completely changed. And when Tiger's in a golf tournament compared to when Tiger is not in a golf tournament, it's not apples and oranges, it's apples and puppies. And I think that you could argue, even today, Pete, that he is the most important athlete to his sport. What is golf without Tiger Woods? It's a bunch of old white dudes walking around hitting a ball with a stick. I'm not interested. When Tiger's playing, it's must-see TV. So I'm going to say that because of all of those reasons, he probably is the most influential athlete ever.
I can see your points, and they're good points, but I disagree.
To me, it's a short list, and you can tell me why you disagree. To me, there's only three answers, and I'm sure that you guys have different ones.
Who are your three answers?
Tiger, Jordan, Ali. That's it.
See, I have one that is not.
Try me.
Jackie Robinson.
Yep.
I just find that it was such a tough time when he was signed by Branch Rickey. And to me, he not only needed to be as good as he was, I think he was a career 300 hitter or something like that, because he needed to prove that he could break the color barrier, and he had to be good enough so that he would be accepted. And from what you read in the documentaries that you read, it had to be him and the type of personality that he was.
So if we're talking about social impact, do you think that he had more of a social impact than Tiger Woods and or Muhammad Ali?
Yeah. I'd say yes.
Yeah.
Really?
He was the first. He was the first.
And it's tough to say what follows if you don't have the first. But again, if you think about a team sport versus an individual, it's just tough for me to say that when you encompass everything and you're talking about the most influential athlete of all time, that a guy who played baseball, albeit a 300 hitter, albeit the first black baseball player, completely changed the sport, is more important than a guy like Muhammad Ali, what he did for boxing, what he did for the country, what he did for socialism, and same thing with Tiger Woods.
Yeah, it's hard to just narrow it down to one. I just stick with Jackie because he was receiving death threats and hate mail, and he just turned the other cheek. And I just think it had to be the exact right combination of a skillful player and someone who was smart enough not to fight back, and just, you know, he was a great teammate, had his teammates accept him, and it changed the world, really. And not to say that Muhammad Ali and Tiger Woods didn't. I think they did as well. But to me, it was Jackie versus the world, and Jackie won.
When it comes to Jordan, Jordan's the best basketball player of all time. The last handful of years, some people want to include LeBron James in that conversation. I guess we can entertain that if you think about all the finals that one guy's gone to and the MVPs and the numbers and all that stuff. But very few times, Ketz, in the history of sports, when you talk about team sports, can we point to a guy and say he's the best to ever play that sport? I think when it comes to hockey, we would all agree Wayne Gretzky is the answer. When it comes to basketball, it's kind of taboo to have the conversation to include anybody except for Michael Jordan's name. Kind of makes you wonder, 30 years ago, who most people considered the greatest basketball player of all time before Jordan came around, because instead of an opinion, that's almost became a fact. When you talk about football, I would say the last couple of years, Tom Brady's pretty much cemented himself as the best quarterback. I think Jerry Rice has cemented himself as the best wide receiver, but who's the best football player of all time? Who's the best baseball player of all time? I don't know.
My influential athlete is a little bit of a wild card. It is from a team sport. The man from Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania, Broadway Joe Namath. It's a little bit outside of the box, but hear this. He was an innovative quarterback. Obviously, he had a lot of injuries, so we weren't really able to see him at his best in the NFL, but he set precedents for contracts when he came into the league. He was a huge media mogul. I mean, obviously, the nickname Broadway Joe is synonymous with, you know, Joe Namath. And certainly, you know, he came out and predicted that they were going to win the Super Bowl, guaranteed it, and won Super Bowl, I think it was 3 over the Colts.
The man could really rock a mink coat. The guy could. It was
he was the epitome of cool when cool was beginning to become cool.
He was a bigger pimp than Ted DiBiase.
Oh, wow.
Was he not the Million Dollar Man, the original wrestling pimp?
Everybody has a price for the Million Dollar Man.
Did Ted DiBiase make it rain in the ring? Was that one of his moves? Or was that ahead of his time?
He would put people to sleep with the Million Dollar Dream sleeper hold, and then he would stuff cash into their mouth.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
Real money?
Real money.
Better finishing move. That, the Frankensteiner, or Jake the Snake Roberts putting an actual snake on your ass?
Well, the snake would do that after the DDT, of course.
Jake the Snake, by the way, is coming to, I'm not making this up, is coming to the Riot Room in Westport, I want to say in October. And the way that I understand it, he's going to sit in a stool at the front of the bar and just get S-faced while people ask him questions. You want to go, Pete?
Absolutely.
I'll be there. That's 100%. Ketz, that's Sweeney. I'm the Sports Machine. Coming up next, we go back inside the mind of the machine on 610 Sports Radio.
Show and Vern from the MVP Electric Heating and Cooling Studios, 610 Sports Radio.
Getting a lot of good answers for the most influential athlete of all time on the Pepper Jack's Grill Famous Philly text line at 69306. Somebody said Pat Tillman, Billie Jean King, Michael Phelps. A lot of people agreeing with you guys, Jackie Robinson. And then, Sween Dog, they're clowning on you. The butler's name is Alfred. What'd you call him? Gordon?
Gordon.
Yeah, Gordon is the name of a Royals outfielder that's hit about 200 the last 3 years. Alfred is the name of the butler.
Master Bruce.
Pete, one thing finally with Branch Rickey. Most people obviously know him through getting Jackie Robinson to break that color barrier. He also brought Roberto Clemente to the Pirates to break the...
Drafted him, right?
Yeah, he did. I believe so.
Yeah. Schooling us here. That's Ketz. That's Sweeney. I'm the Sports Machine taking you up until 2 o'clock. Hit us up on that Pepper Jack's Grill Famous Philly text line at 69306. Coming up at noon, we're going to ask, who's higher? All right, all right, all right. Oh, coming up right now, let's go back inside the mind of the machine.
Have you seen those scooters people that have been riding around all over Kansas City?
Yeah, downtown. So I live in Midtown. Are you familiar with these, Pete?
Absolutely. Birds.
Yeah, have you rode one?
Not yet. Not yet.
I think that that's a really, like, it might not be as good of a mode of transportation as the horse and buggy, might not be as good as an Uber, might not be as good as a hoverboard, but it's a damn good mode of transportation. What do you, you just put your You put your credit card in.
Right. You have to have an app, I believe.
My question is, how do they make sure that you don't, one, take that thing all the way to Des Moines, or two, just steal it?
GPS tracking.
Ah, technology.
And from what I can find, or what I've been told by friends, you can apparently charge these things overnight, and they'll give you $5 a scooter or something. So you could have like a side job, or 10 bucks a scooter if you charge them at home. And then you are expected to like bring them back on the street.
The way that I understand it, you can pick it up,
right,
use your credit card with the app, start riding on it, and then drop it off wherever the hell you want, right?
You can leave it anywhere.
Because yeah, I've seen those things all
over
town.
I find it a very weird thing. And it, you know,
is it weird or is it genius? And I have another question. Can you get a DUI? I'm not joking. Can you get a DUI one of those things? Because there's a lot of them outside the bars. It might be a terrible idea.
I used to live in Missoula, Montana for a few months. And it was there for a summer. And everyone biked everywhere. And they said, don't do it drunk because you can get a BWI. It's the same thing.
I wonder if you can get a bird while intoxicated.
Birding while intoxicated.
Yeah, that's not good. What's next?
A baseball autographed by the first MLB Hall of Fame class sold last week for $600,000. What's your best piece of sports memorabilia? And if price wasn't an object, what piece would you want to have?
My best piece of sports memorabilia, I hope I don't get myself in trouble here. So when Michael Beasley scored 39 points at Allen Fieldhouse, the one time that he played at Allen Fieldhouse because he was a one and done, I was part of the student radio crew for, what was it, a KJHK radio out there in Lawrence for KU Radio. And for some reason, they gave us just awesome courtside seats. It was great. We were living it up. And at the end of the game, Sharon Collins took the basketball. I think it was Sharon. Took the basketball and threw it straight up in the air, right? It bounced a couple of times and landed at my feet. Well, what would you do? You'd pick up the basketball, right? So I got the basketball in my hands, and I'm looking all around. I'm expecting somebody to be like, hey, we need that ball. Nobody ever did. Now it's on my mantle.
Well, there you go.
The ball that when Michael Beasley scored 39 points against K-State. I had to give back the football. I don't know if you guys have ever seen. The last time that KU football won on a walk-off field goal, it's been 5 years. It was in some directional Dakota school, but here's the story. I was on the field, my old job in Lawrence, and I caught the field goal one-handed. I'm not making this up. I had all my prep in my right hand. I caught the field goal with my left hand. Unfortunately, I couldn't keep that football. You know, the guys that, whatever they're called, that hold all the footballs. You know,
they're just assistants, yeah.
Whatever they are.
Yeah, ball boys.
Ball boys, whatever.
Assistants,
Came running by, and he was like, give me the ball. And there was just so much mayhem that, unfortunately. But I got you Michael Beasley ball.
There you go. I'm not really a big collector, honestly. I would say the best thing, you know, a couple autographs here and there, but nothing that stands out for me.
If I could have, like, somebody apparently for $5,500 bought the trough from the Metrodome. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Like old school, before we had individual urinals, which is crazy that this thing ever existed. It was just the long trough. And I have to admit, there have been multiple times in my life when I couldn't go. I was ready. I was prepared. I had it out, and I just couldn't go because of the trough. That's just how it goes. But somebody for $5,500, I don't know what you're going to do with it. I don't know why this guy bought it, purchased the trough from the Metrodome.
That's disgusting.
If I could have anything, I think I'd buy, like, a pair of Mike Tyson's gloves or something. They're pretty badass. What's next?
Autograph Lynn Dawson jersey for yours truly.
Wow.
Topping the box office this weekend was Crazy Rich Asians and The Meg. Are you interested in seeing either one of
these?
I got to be honest. The Meg is short for, or Meg, whatever, is short. Did you go see any of them, Ketz?
No, I did not. No, I was in St. Louis for a wedding this past week.
Short for Megalodon. Right, so that's like another shark movie or whatever. I got to be honest. When I heard that the movie The Meg was coming out, I thought that it was a sequel to, remember that movie they did a couple of years ago where the guy fell in love with his Siri? I think it was called like
Her. I just watched that over the weekend.
No way.
Yes.
I thought that Meg was a sequel to Her, but it's actually about a Megalodon shark. No, I'm not going to see any of these. The last movie that I saw in the theaters was Finding Nemo.
Let me tell you what you have to do.
Tell me.
If you're going to go and spend your money at the movies, you're probably spending a lot, especially if you get snacks. And who doesn't like to get snacks at the movies? If you're going to go to spend the money, check Rotten Tomatoes first and see what the movie's got. And so here you've listed now Crazy Rich Asians, that is listed at 93%. The Meg is 47.
No way.
Go see the Asians one.
I think that's it. Just the Crazy Rich Asians just sounds like it's going to just make so much.
The Meg just seems like a knockoff version of like Jaws to me. Just from seeing the preview of it, it just seems like a knockoff version.
Aren't all shark movies after Jaws just a knockoff of Jaws? Like, there's only so much that you can do. The shark eats the people are done. What else are you going to do? That's why they made Sharknado. What's next?
Speaking of movies, when's the last time you saw Johnny Depp?
Sweeney, when's the last time you saw Johnny Depp? He looks awful.
I have not seen him in quite a while. Where is the picture from?
Google Johnny Depp right now and tell me what you think, because he looks absolutely terrible. However, this guy has made a ton of really good movies. Here's my top five. Edward Scissorhands, number five. What's Eating Gilbert Grape? Donnie Brasco, number three. I'm going to go Blow, number two, and Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, number one. He's done some weird movies, too. Remember, he did like Wonka and Alice in Wonderland. You got the picture?
I have the picture.
Dude, what do you think?
Scary.
Rough.
My favorite is Edward Scissorhands. That, to me, is classic.
It's a great movie. Although, what do you think's going on with dude? He looks pale.
He looks like he's in Edward Scissorhands.
Google Johnny Depp. That actually is what he looks like. His character from Edward Scissorhands, which is not what you want to look like as a real human. What's next?
After blowing a 6-run lead yesterday to the White Sox, are you ready to say that this is the worst Royals team of all time?
What are you laughing at now?
The worst team ever?
They're the worst Royals team ever. Are they the worst baseball team ever? I guess that's a conversation you could have also.
Detroit Tigers lost 120 games one year.
Dude, the Royals are on pace to lose 114. Don't look now. If they have a couple of bad weeks, they could lose 120. I know it seems ridiculous, but it could happen. You look at the numbers. As a team, they're hitting 240. Their opponent's batting average is 277. They've got an ERA of 5.3. They've got one guy in their everyday lineup hitting 270. It's much easier to answer who's the best Royals team of all time. Some people will tell you 77, 80, 85. You'll get a handful of people that'll tell you it was a team that won the World Series a couple of years ago. But if you want to ask me who the worst Royals team of all time is, this is going to be a much longer conversation.
I mean, I find that this year, you know how like sometimes you'll compare bad teams, oh, that's a minor league team. This is like a single A, double A type of effort. Just young kids who probably shouldn't even be in the majors pitching.
It's not effort. It's when you look at the roster. Now, granted, they've siphoned off a lot of their pieces, traded them away, trying to get pieces back. But if you look at the nucleus going forward, because there's a lot of people that think that this team, I'm not one of them, but there's a lot of people that think that this team can become competitive 3 or 4 years down the line. You hear a lot of people talk about 2021, 2022. I would say this. They've got the worst record in the major leagues. By most accounts, they've got one of the worst three minor league organizations. And if you look at their nucleus going forward, to me, Danny Duffy, Jorge Soler, Whit Merrifield, I like those guys. But if we're comparing them to other nucleus from other major league baseball teams, not that good. What's next?
So you said that you had an exciting trip to Broadway Deli over the weekend. Care to share with us?
Yeah, they took my picture at Broadway Deli, which only makes me think that I'm going to end up on that wall. Here's the problem, man. Have you been to Broadway Deli?
I have not.
All right, well, I'll take you for a corned beef and matzo ball soup after the show, because now they're open till 6. But, dude, check this out. So,
delicious.
I've been there. Like, I go all the time now. I'm on a first-name basis. And I am at the Broadway Deli, and the girl who runs the place takes a picture of me, right? Flattering, a little bit creepy. You know, some random girl comes by, snaps a picture. It doesn't happen real often, but it happens. On the wall, there's framed photos of people. You can either be famous people that have eaten here, non-famous people that haven't eaten here, which is like random people's pictures on the wall, and I can't remember what the other one is. Where do you think my picture belongs? I mean, I
think door three. I want to know whatever
door
three
is. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying whatever door three is where I belong. I'm hoping to name a sandwich after me. Like, a picture is one thing.
What would be on the machine?
It would be a Reuben-esque type sandwich, Pete. It would involve corned beef, some rye bread, definitely some Thousand Island dressing. Basically, what I just said is a Reuben. So it would be a Reuben sandwich is what it would be, guys. What's next?
Both Jamal Charles and Adrian Peterson have been with the Washington Redskins for tryouts this week. Is it time for these guys to hang up the cleats?
I think so, Pete. I mean, last year we saw Adrian Peterson for a cup of coffee. Where'd he end up? Like, he was with the Saints, and that didn't work out. He's with the Cardinals. I've got the same problem with my Sunday night softball league. Like, I can no longer throw the ball across the diamond, right? I pop up 50% of the time. Basically, what I'm saying is I suck at softball. Now, granted, I was never making millions of dollars, so to me, it's much easier to quit. I'm thinking about hanging up the cleats. If I was a pro athlete, though, if I'm Adrian Peterson, if I'm Jamal Charles, and if somebody's going to offer me a multi-million dollar contract, man, I literally try to play until I no longer can, because after that, how's Jamal Charles or Adrian Peterson going to get paid that type of money?
Neither of these guys are going to get offered, I don't think, multi-year contracts. I'd like to see, being around Kansas City now for a while, Jamal Charles get another opportunity. I think it's going to be tough to find one. And it's sad because Jamal Charles still is the leader in yards per carry of all time. And I just wish his body would not have failed him, because he maybe could have been a Hall of Famer if he just could have played longer.
Yeah, it's kind of a Roberto Alomar-ish end to his career, where when it started, man, he was hotter than Farrah Fawcett in a forest fire. I mean, he was great. And like you mentioned, averaged more yards per carry than anybody in the history of the league. He was on a trajectory to end up in Canton. Unfortunately, I think the sample size is going to be a little bit too small.
Yeah, he'll be in the Chiefs Hall of Fame and the Ring of Honor, obviously, but that'll be the highest.
Oh, he's going in the Ring of Honor 10 minutes after he retires in Kansas City. I mean, I think there's an argument to be made, and we've had a lot of really good running backs. As much as the quarterback situation has been Groundhog Day with Steve DeBerg and Dave Craig and Steve Bono and Alex Smith and Trent Green and Elvis Kerbach, I can keep going. If you think about that position and the wide receiver play, where you said earlier in the show that Tyreek Hill's on pace to be the best Chiefs wide receiver ever, and I don't even think that's an argument to be made. Think about how lucky we've gotten with the running back position, though. I mean, it wasn't just Jamal. You had Larry Johnson. You had Priest Holmes. You had Christian Okoye. There have been some hella good running backs.
Can even talk about Kareem Hunt. I mean, we don't necessarily know that he's going to have a greatest career, but he won the damn rushing title last year. Yeah, that's good. A good start, at least.
Let's talk more about Kareem Hunt on the other side, our expectations, and then let's break down the division. Best in the division coming up next. Who's the best coach, quarterback, running back, offense, best team? I'll tell you. It's Sween and the Machine on 610 Sports Radio.
Show and Vern from the MVP Electric Heating and Cooling Studios, 610 Sports Radio.
Sween and the Machine on a Monday morning. Is it still morning? Yeah, 11:49 a.m. We'll call that the morning.
11 minutes of morning to go.
Well, coming up at noon, Ketz is going to ask us, who's higher? All right. Let's talk some more Kansas City Chiefs and break down the division, a division that they've won back-to-back seasons. Crazy to think that this is the first time that they've ever won the AFC West back-to-back years. As a kid that grew up in the Marty Schottenheimer era, how in the hell did that happen?
Yeah, it is surprising. With that being said, I mean, that's great. And I think everyone feels this way in Kansas City now. Let's win in the playoffs, right? I mean, I think that's kind of the mindset at this point.
And that's why you went out and drafted Patrick Mahomes. I think most people would agree that had you kept Alex Smith on this team, had you kept Marcus Peters just for 2018, you'd probably be a better football team. You'd probably win more games. I think if you didn't make those moves, you would have gave yourself a better chance to win the Super Bowl this season. However, I think that would have set you back probably 3 or 4 years in the future, which is why they went out there, traded away a guy like Marcus Peters, drafted a guy like Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I tend to disagree about the Marcus Peters thing, but I agree with the Alex Smith move. I think they saw a player in Patrick Mahomes that was too good to not have as part of their organization. It was a push by John Dorsey and management and Andy Reid, and they went up and got him because they believed in him, and I think it was reading out with Stark talking to them after games in the same breath, again, because of the throw, is Donovan McNabb and Michael Vick. Like, this could be a generational type player that's on the team. I mean, there's those signs. He isn't anything yet, so let's always be careful to say that, but there are those signs. That's why they made the move.
Let's start there and compare Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs quarterback situation, mm-hmm. to the rest of the division. Because the Chiefs last year were in as unique of a scenario as this franchise has ever been in. Man, I've been watching Chiefs football my entire life. I've seen a lot of Brody Croyles and Tyler Braze and Tyler Thigpens because that was your best option. Man, they had a couple of damn good options last year. A guy in Alex Smith who ended up having a career season and a guy who they traded up to get the number 10 pick. You want to talk about a unique scenario. Most of the time, a top 10 pick, a number 5 overall pick, a number 1 like Baker Mayfield, they end up on a team that sucks. That's how they get them. They won one or two games the year before, so they get a high draft pick. The Chiefs were really good, as a matter of fact. They won the division the year before they drafted Patrick Mahomes, and they were really good the year after, won the division again. So to me, the expectations shouldn't necessarily change, but when we're comparing just the quarterback position to the rest of the division, how do you think the Chiefs stack up?
It's top two, definitely, and it just depends on how Mahomes does. I find Mahomes to be better than Derek Carr is. I find him to be better than a Case Keenum. I'm much more comfortable with Mahomes. Phillip Rivers is the only other quarterback that you could say at the beginning of the season right now, he's probably the best quarterback in the division. Fast forward 10 games from now Patrick Mahomes has 10 games under his belt. He's maybe gotten rid of those rookie jitters. There's been some tape on him. Teams have made adjustments, and now he's adjusted. Maybe you're looking at a different situation.
Think just 2018. Don't worry about the fact that Phillip Rivers is almost done. Don't worry about the fact that 3 years down the road, maybe Derek Carr is going to turn into the quarterback that we thought that he was last year. In a vacuum, just this season, is Patrick Mahomes a better quarterback than Phillip Rivers, than Case Keenum?
I think drafting for this season and this season alone, you would take Phillip Rivers.
I just want to see more from those other guys.
Like, right.
Case Keenum's had one good year. It was a really good year, right? In the case of Derek Carr, he's basically had one good year also. Patrick Mahomes is the ultimate unknown. What about the running back position? You look around the league, man. San Diego. The Chargers are pretty much set, right? I mean, they might have. Who do you think is a better running back? What the Chargers have, what the Chiefs have?
It's close.
You like Melvin Gordon, you like Kareem Hunt. Who's your guy?
I would take Kareem Hunt over Melvin Gordon, but only slightly. Just because I think Kareem Hunt, like Melvin Gordon's really good, but he sort of reminds me of a lot of running backs in this league. Kareem Hunt offers that rare trait, that rare quality of elusiveness that I just haven't seen in a lot of running backs ever. And I love that about him. You saw a little bit more of it at the beginning of last year and then the end of last year. But if he can find a way to do that, especially in the open field, especially if this pass game gets going and they can't stack the box, Kareem Hunt could have another great year.
You look at the rest of the division when it comes to running backs. I'm not sure who the Broncos are going to throw out there. I drafted some guy named Royce somebody only because...
Royce Freeman.
Yeah, I wasn't paying any attention to my draft went on auto draft. So I guess I'm going to run with that guy, but I don't know who the hell he is. And Marshawn Lynch at this point is just old.
After we get off the air, why don't you release Royce? Let's send him back. Throw him back into the show.
Should I?
Yeah.
I probably should. Yeah, catch and release.
Yeah.
What's his name? O'Neal?
Royce Freeman.
White. Royce who?
Royce Freeman.
Freeman, yeah. O'Neal, White, Royce somebody. Yeah, yeah, you're right. Catch and release.
If you
Royce.
Love something, let it go and don't come back to you.
Isn't that DMX?
I don't know.
I believe. Best coach in the division. I think hands down, that one's pretty obvious. The Chiefs have it. Andy Reid,
and I guess you can make a case if you want for Gruden.
Did you just hit puberty on the radio, Pete? Yes. I think you can make a case for John Gruden.
Feels good to finally be a man.
Congratulations, dude.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
The chest hair just sprung as well.
Yeah. Let me unbutton my shirt.
John Gruden, though, is an enigma because a lot of people think that the game's like passed him by because he hasn't been an NFL coach in 10 years. It's not like he was, you know, smoking Snoop Blunts on an island in Tahiti. He was on the side. He was up in the press box on Monday Night Football games.
But here's the deal. I didn't want to buy into that either. And then he goes and signs Derek Johnson. And then he goes and shows the Raiders 1976 grainy film of the offense they're going to run. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what he's doing.
Do you think that John Gruden knows that the tight end is more has become more than that glorified offensive lineman?
I just remember how we were saying earlier in the program how it just doesn't feel like Sammy Watkins right now doesn't feel good. The Raiders feel like 4-12.
Wow.
They do.
Then take your money to the bank. Las Vegas says they're eight and a half.
Easy money.
You say they're going to win half those games?
Easy money.
I'm going to empty out all $1.78 in my Bank of America account and take that to Vegas.
Liquidate that basketball, yeah.
Best offense in the division. I think the Chiefs have that one pretty much wrapped up.
Yeah. I mean, the Chiefs are one of the, on paper, again, if you assume that the offensive line is going to be okay, they should have it.
I think the Chargers will be good. I think the Raiders will be okay. I think the Broncos are going to be bad. I think the Chiefs potentially could be great. And then last one, overall, Vegas tells me, even though the Chiefs have won the West in back-to-back seasons, that they're not even the second-best team in this division. They've got the Chargers, then the four-win Raiders, then the Kansas City Chiefs. When it comes to an overall roster, up and down, 53 guys, I think the Chiefs have the best roster in the division.
I would tend to agree. A lot of people like the Chargers. Here's the thing. The Chargers, they got weak ACLs. They got weak ACLs.
Yeah, they got injuries, and they always lose a bunch of close games.
I would find The thing that you always have to think about Las Vegas, though, because I hate to rule it out. Like, I was bringing it up before with the Khalil Mack stuff. When Las Vegas says the Packers are the most likely team, they know enough to put those odds out.
Yeah.
So the 8.5 wins with the Chiefs continues to scare me. The Las Vegas odds that the Los Angeles Chargers are going to win a division continues to scare me. Of course, you have the first 4 weeks, and say the Chiefs were to go 4-0, all those things change as they do, like it's live odds, you know? But right now, it is a little scary.
If the Chiefs go 4-0 their first four games, I will take you to Blue Stem.
Wow.
Three nights in a row.
Whoa.
That's how sure I am that there is not a snowball's chance in hell. You know their schedule, right? Out the gates against the Chargers.
I'm going to turn it to Andy Reid for a second here.
On the road against the Steelers.
Plus one game at a time.
I understand. 4-0, you, sir, eating Blue Stem.
I can't wait till they're 3-0, and I'm waiting at Blue Stem.
That's probably the point that I back off the bet, and then you bring up the, remember on the radio? No, I don't remember that, Pete. That's Pete Sweeney. That's Jason Katz. I'm the sports machine, Sean Levine. 2 hours in the book. Two more coming up next. Who's higher? All right, all right, all right. It's 610 Sports Radio.
Show and Vern from the MVP Electric Heating and Cooling Studios. 610 Sports Radio.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!